Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Our first scripture is Psalm 19. Listen for God's word. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, and is clear, lightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant from the insolent, and do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, today I invite you to join me on a journey. A journey that requires not your feet, but your heart, your mind, and your spirit. I invite you to close your eyes. Go ahead, close your eyes. And step back in time. Back into the pages of the Gospel of Matthew. Picture this. You are walking along the dusty roads of Caesarea Philippi, surrounded by the rustic beauty of the ancient town. The air is warm and dry, filled with the scent of fig trees and the distant murmur of conversation. You are not alone. You are walking with a group of people. But there is one who stands out from the rest. a man of humble grace yet commanding presence. His name is Jesus. You have left everything behind to follow this man. You've seen miracles happen before your eyes and heard wisdom from his lips that have stirred your soul. And now, as you walk along these roads, Jesus turns to you, his eyes meeting yours with a depth of love and sincerity. The world around you seems to fade away, as if you two are the only ones still standing there. Jesus wants to hear from you, just you. And so he asks, "But who do you say that I am?" This is not a question for the masses, nor even a smaller group. It is a question for you. Jesus is asking you for your answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? Let that question echo in your mind. Let it resonate in your heart. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not what others say, not what you've heard or read, but your own answer, your own revelation. Who do you say that Jesus is? As we open our eyes and come back to the present, carry this thought with us throughout the sermon today. Jesus is asking you, you, right here and right now, "But who do you say that I am?" When Jesus asks Peter the same question, we encounter a moment of profound revelation. When Jesus asks Peter, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter responds with a conviction born not of human wisdom, but of divine revelation. Peter boldly declares, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This response, my friends, is not just an answer. It is a declaration of faith, a testament of belief, a rock-solid conviction that is unshakable and unbreakable. It is the very essence of the faith that we uphold as followers of Christ. Peter boldly declares, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." In the hymn that we've been exploring this Lenten season, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," the lyrics at the end of verse 1 going into the beginning of verse 2 sing, "Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I'm come." Today, like Peter, we are praising the mount. We are boldly declaring our inner truths that God has revealed to us. We are raising our Ebenezers for the great things that God has done. Now you might be asking, what is an Ebenezer? In the Old Testament, the prophet Samuel sets up a stone to commemorate the Israelites' victory over the Philistines. He names it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." The term Ebenezer in Hebrew translates to stone of help. For Samuel, this stone served as a tangible reminder of God's divine intervention and faithfulness. And here we see Peter echoing a similar sentiment. His declaration is his Ebenezer. It is the bedrock of his faith, his personal acknowledgement of the divine identity of Jesus. Despite his future doubts, despite his resistance to change, despite his imminent denials, this moment in Peter's life stands out as a beacon of his faith. Peter is praising the mount, declaring his faith in who Jesus is. The two establish a symbolic Ebenezer, with Jesus in turn renaming Simon Peter to Peter. Peter's name now means rock. perhaps because of his unshakable and unbreakable declaration in this moment. And whether Jesus meant Peter is now the rock on which the church is built, or whether Jesus just meant that time and place is the rock, that moment between the two is laid out as a foundation to the way and the church that Jesus and his followers would build. We know that Peter wasn't perfect. His faith wavered in the face of a storm. He resisted the path that Jesus had to take. He even denied knowing Jesus 3 times during Jesus' crucifixion and death. But this moment of confession, this moment of revelation, stands out as a testament to his faith. Peter's faith, his conviction in that moment, was so profound, so unshakable, that Jesus proclaimed him to be the rock. This was not because Peter was without fault, but because Peter had capacity for great faith. Our faith is not defined by our perfections, but rather we make sense of our faith through our own divine revealed truths. Despite our doubts or despite our shortcomings, it is our faith and our convictions, our personal Ebenezers, that define our relationship with Christ. But what exactly is a conviction within the context of faith? A conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion that we hold in our hearts. It is a divine truth that has been revealed to us by no other than God. It transcends human reasoning and understanding, anchoring us in our faith even amid waves of doubt and uncertainty. You can think of conviction as a rock, unshakable and unbreakable beliefs because God has made them known to us. It was God who was the one who made them known to us. I'd like to share a personal story that illustrates this concept. And this story involves the conviction of a woman of faith, someone very close to my heart, my mom. Growing up, my family and I were part of a Lutheran church in North Dakota, like everyone else in the state of North Dakota. However, when we moved to Colorado, the landscape of our faith community changed. The only Lutheran church in our new town, which was a thriving community with a vibrant youth program, belonged to a branch of Lutheranism that did not endorse women as leaders within the church. Upon moving to this small town in Colorado, my family received multiple invitations to join this local Lutheran church. And to many on the outside, it seemed illogical for us to join this community because we were, after all, Lutherans. Yet my mom held a conviction, a divine truth that had been revealed to her in her own relationship with Jesus. She firmly believed, with every fiber of her being, that women were also called to be leaders within the church. And this conviction was so profound, so unshakable and unbreakable, that my family never stepped inside that Lutheran church. Instead, we joined the Presbyterian Church in our town. This church, belonging to the Presbyterian Church USA, similar to us, mirrored my mother's values. And the rest is history, including my own ordination as a Presbyterian minister. And I believe, with every fiber of my being, that my mom's rock-solid belief that women were also called to be leaders within the church became the foundation that people like me were also called to be leaders in the church. Much like Peter, who stood firm in his belief of Jesus as the Messiah, my mother stood firm in her belief that God had revealed to her and my family and to many others, including all of us. We are all called to reflect on the divine truths revealed to us by God. They may not always align with the world's expectations or the easiest paths to follow, but they are the pillars of our faith, the rocks upon which our spiritual journeys are built. It is also crucial to understand that our faith journeys is not about having a conviction in every part of our faith or in every single aspect of our faith. Faith is not a puzzle to be solved where every piece fits perfectly together without any gaps. Rather, faith is more like a tapestry woven together with threads of convictions and questions, doubts and revelations. It is perfectly normal and even healthy to have questions and uncertainties within faith. And as we journey together in faith, it is also essential to recognize that our rock-solid beliefs, our answers to Jesus' profound question, "But who do you say that I am?" will not always align with each other. Do you think everyone here whispered in their hearts the same answer when we imagined together earlier, when Jesus asked you the question, "But who do you say that I am?" Of course not. Our tapestries of faith are woven together different. But each of us, through our own unique experiences and relationships of God's, we all have different responses. That is the beauty of a faith community, our diversity in faith and revealed truths. It is in this diversity that enriches our understanding of God, of faith, and of each other. Yet even though sometimes our beliefs differ, there are moments where our convictions as a community converge completely together, creating pillars of shared beliefs that ground us as a community. We might call these core values. In our congregation, we have identified 5 rock-solid convictions that we collectively uphold, revealed to us through our communal journey with God. The first of these is that we strive to see Christ in each person, practicing expansive welcome and steadfast love. This conviction challenges us to look beyond our differences, to see the image of God in each other, and to extend love and welcome to all. Our second core value is our commitment to center our life around joyful and grateful worship of God. This revealed truth reminds us that our faith is not a burden, but a joy, a reason for celebration and gratitude. The third is our aspiration to continually grow in our faith. This Ebenezer pushes us to never become complacent in our faith journey, but to always seek to deepen our understanding of God and the living Word. The fourth core value is our determination to use our gifts to fulfill God's call. We know with certainty that God has blessed each one of us with unique talents and abilities, and that we must use these gifts in service of God's plan. And our fifth and final core value as members and friends of First Presbyterian is our commitment to serve God by serving our neighbors near and far. This rock-solid belief calls us to look beyond our own needs and to see the needs of others, to extend the hand of service in love and humility. In our congregation, we have 5 core values that bind us together. These are our collective convictions, our shared Ebenezers. These are the rocks upon which we build our community of faith. Life is a winding road filled with doubt and uncertainty, hardships and challenges. We know this as individuals, and as members of Friends of First Presbyterian, we also know this as a community. But it is during these times that we must cling to what we know, what God has revealed to us, our rock-solid convictions. For it is in these beliefs that we find our strength and our courage and our faith. It is in these revelations that we find our answer to Jesus' question, but who do you say that I am? When life overwhelms us with choices and possibilities, we must return to the core of our faith. We must hold fast to what God has revealed to us, to the love and grace of God that binds us together as a community. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.